Welcome to the 99% Loco Podcast.
Hey there, podcast family. Welcome to another week of the 99% Local Podcast. I am your host, Chris Green. This week brings us to episode number 45. Each week, I'm bringing stories of Nashville and Middle Tennessee-based entrepreneurs, business owners, authors, musicians, and other creators. Everyone has a story, their own unique upbringing, and a passion for why they're doing what they're doing. I personally love the sense of community around Nashville and get my kicks from sharing these stories. This week's guest is John Meese. John calls himself a traditionally trained economist turned serial entrepreneur. John has a passion for helping entrepreneurs build thriving businesses by documenting everything he has learned from building his own businesses. In early 2020, John, along with his wife Rachel, launched Cowork Columbia, an entrepreneur center in Columbia, Tennessee, to support the local business community in their hometown. John's mission with Cowork Columbia is simply to provide the community and coaching that entrepreneurs and business people alike need to succeed. Cowork Columbia offers an inspiring professional workspace that is available as an on-demand co-working space as well. So with that, let's get right into it. Here's my conversation with John Meese, serial entrepreneur and CEO of Cowork Columbia.
Hey you. Stop filling out that TPS report and look here. So, your business is growing and you're looking for more workspace. Congratulations. Let me guess, you're looking for a place where you can be surrounded by your coworkers, but divided by temporary seafoam green walls. That way you can decorate your space with pictures of the view that you wish you had. Seriously. Why is it that all professional workspaces must use fluorescent lighting and cheesy elevator music to drain the life out of its inhabitants? Why not consider the alternative? An environment that breathes life into you, your business, and, quite frequently, parties like it's 1999. Say no to the cubicle. Say yes to co-working. Brenda, hold my calls.
Yeah, so John, you are one of the founders of Cowork Columbia, along with your wife, Rachel.
That's true.
Let's be honest, she runs it, right?
Well, I mean, actually, you wouldn't be too far off from the truth. Yeah, she's our community manager here, and so she spends a lot of time interacting directly with members. We've now reached the point in the business where there's members, you know, who come in and I step out of my office for a minute and I'm like, oh, I don't know some of these customers. That's new, but that's a good place to be.
Yeah. So what you're doing with Cowork Columbia, it's more than just a co-working space, and we're going to dissect that a little bit, but you know, your story, your wife's story, you guys love local entrepreneurs. You're an entrepreneur yourself. Obviously you thrive on serving the community. And you've really built this place out into like a full service place for entrepreneurs and business people to work and to also be mentored. Like I said, we'll dig into that. Can you kind of just start out? Tell me a little bit about your family and your guys' background.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I have, so right now I'm looking at these pictures on the wall behind my monitor of my beautiful children. I've got three boys. So Damien, Lucas, and Myron, they're, you know, Damien's 4 years old. Lucas just turned three and Myron is 8 months old. So we've got three boys who fill our life with joy and bruises. It's a little bit of both. I am blessed to share that life with my best friend, Rachel, who has been my best friend for more than half my life now. We actually met when we were 14. I was in the friend zone for about 8 years, but there is hope for anybody who's still out there, you know, stuck in that. So, no, I mean, the truth is it took me 6 years to tell her I liked her. and then another 3 months to get the first date, 2 years to get the second date, but then only a year to get married. So, you know, it just took us a while to ramp up. Both my parents were entrepreneurs. My dad's a painting contractor. He hasn't had a, boss or a job my entire life. I mean, I think 40 something years ago he did, but so I kind of grew up in that world. He never called himself an entrepreneur. And so that was that never occurred to me. Like I went and got a job and went to college like you're supposed to do. But then as I was coming out of that, I was really just frustrated with a lot of the options that were presented to me. And I started while I was working full-time for a campus ministry. And then I worked full-time for Chick-fil-A for years as like a training director. Then I started building a blog and a podcast on the side. And this is when my wife got married. So, I'd work all day and then I'd take her out for a date and then go home and be like, okay, cool. I got to go work on my laptop. And she didn't really get it. She was like, can't we just like watch movies or something? Like, what are we doing? Until the first time I ever launched a product, and I launched an online course. I was studying online marketing. So I created this little online course. I built a little waiting list for it. So I had about 150 email subscribers. I say that actually, I want to say it was actually 250. It's been long enough now that's at the time that would have been a huge difference. So I had about 250 email subscribers and I did this launch for this one product, the first digital product I've ever sold. And I made $10,000 in 10 days. And My wife said, what is this? And let's do more of that. So that kind of started us on this journey of that becoming my full-time income, my full-time business. And then of course, that was years ago. So since then, we started a software company called Notable Themes, where we sell WordPress themes and plugins. We started a co-working space in January in Cowork, Columbia, here in Columbia, Tennessee, 58 days before COVID-19 caused us to close down for 48 days. So,
hurt
a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I'd been following, I don't know, I think you announced like last fall, like that you were doing this. I found you on social media. I think, we probably have some mutual friends or mutual business people we know. And so I started following what you were building up and then to your launch. And I've been trying to get down there. It never happened yet anyway. You opened and then, couple months in the whole COVID thing and
and I will say, Chris, like just candidly, I mean, of course that was hard. Like we didn't plan for that. That was not expected at all. But from the very beginning, we set this up. Whenever I do a business, it's not really about the products, it's about the purpose. And so we put this big sign on the wall that you can't miss if you're walking around downtown Columbia and you walk past our giant glass windows. There's this giant teal wall with the white letters, huge white letters that say entrepreneurs welcome. And from the beginning, from day one, we said, we exist to help Columbia's entrepreneurs, right? So I'd already been doing this online for years of helping entrepreneurs build small businesses, online businesses, that kind of stuff. And then I wanted to help our local community. And so that was always the focus. Well, when COVID-19 hit and the lockdown hit, then it became very clear, okay, the way we do this probably looks different. Like we're not doing as much of these physical in-person book clubs or training classes that we had in mind. But entrepreneurs actually need more help than ever. And so we've actually been, we've been working on, we just launched a program called Rebuild, helping local small business owners kind of just pivot and adapt their business strategy. And so we've been doing stuff like that.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about the Rebuild Business Recovery Program because, I mean, right now it's very relevant and very pivotal to anyone that might be listening that runs a business here in Middle Tennessee and needs, just some motivation, mentorship to try to, let's jump ahead. Can you talk more about that program that you're doing?
Yeah, so we started with a couple of free workshops called Refocus, and we partnered with a company out of Chattanooga, Tennessee named Co-Starters, and they've spent the last more than a decade launching these local programs for like incubators and startup hubs in different cities all over the US and the world to go walk through how do you actually create your business plan, how do you start your business. So they have this program called Starters that they've been doing for, they've had more than 14,000 students go through that program. So it's phenomenal and locked in, and then COVID-19 hits and then the lockdown hits and they were like, what do we do? So they basically took their material and they said, wait a second, actually 80% of this is actually hyper relevant for every existing business right now that is having to reinvent their business. And so they went back and they kind of rewrote most of that curriculum with that foundation and that experience of what works and what doesn't. And then they created this program called Rebuild. And so we partnered with them to license that and bring it to Columbia because I knew we could like we could create something here. I'm actually in the process right now of finishing a book called Survive and Thrive, how to build a profitable business in any economy. And so I knew like we could create our own curriculum, but they had something that was tested by 14,000 students already gone through it. There's success attached to it. And so we actually partnered with them to bring it to Columbia. And so we did a couple of free workshops, first called Refocus, which is one-time workshops. A lot of people found that helpful. But then we said, look, this is not just like this isn't one of those moments where you just show up and you're like, oh, I'm going to tweak a couple things in my business strategy. No, this is a new world. Everything is changing drastically. You need to rebuild. And so Rebuild itself, we got sponsors to cover most of the cost of the program. And the first cohort kicked off actually last week, a week ago, as you and I are talking. So if there's interest, we'll do a second cohort for sure. But I mean, candidly, it was really hard to get business owners' attention. Like we would talk to them and they would say, look, I know I need help, but I'm just too busy. And we're like, well, that's the thing, you know, like you're so busy and you're just going to, that's not enough. Like you have to radically pivot. If you just try to do more tasks, you're not going to adapt. You're not going to survive this crisis. And so many business owners are not. We actually just got literally yesterday, I got a text from one of our members who actually had joined Rebuild and was one of our members of the co-working space. And she sent me a text and she was like, hey, I just want to let you know, I'm going to have to pull out because I did decide to permanently close my business. And, unfortunately, that's going to be, I think, a common conversation in the next 6 months. But we're trying to do everything we can to try to just to show up and serve and help wherever we can.
Yeah. And I want to talk a lot more about what you're doing. So I'd ask why Columbia, but I mean, do you live in Columbia as well?
Yes. Yeah, actually I walk to my co-working space every day. So, I mean, I live on Second Avenue in Columbia.
Yeah. And you're right on the square. Mm-hmm. I got to tell you, like the Columbia Square's our favorite place to go and hang out. It's just awesome. I mean, it's kind of being rebuilt and there's so much there. What are the first Fridays or whatever? And it's just,
we used to do those. It's a really cool, I mean, I moved here. I mean, I've run online businesses for the last 5 years or longer, probably, I guess it was 6 or 7 years. So I could live anywhere really. I mean, I grew up in Tennessee, from Tennessee. And so I just never, every time I went and visited somewhere else, I came back and I was like, oh, actually I really like Tennessee. So I actually moved to Columbia temporarily 6 years ago. So it was supposed to be just a 6 month thing. We were just moving here briefly while we were in between jobs. I was actually interviewing for a role at a nonprofit in Mexico that our church supports as the executive director of like an orphanage and a mission center. And but the online business thing was taken off. And so I was like, well, maybe I'll do that. I don't know. And then we just fell in love with Columbia. And so we've lived here for a little over 6 years and watched the downtown area kind of really come to life. It's, you know, Southern Living called it one of the top 10 small towns in America. And a lot of celebrities started, you know, people like Mike Wolf and Sheryl Crow started buying more property down here. And so that got people's attention, but we were already here. We were just, so that's why we opened the co-working space. Cause we said, this town is really doing something special and we want to be part of it.
Yeah. So going back to co-work specifically, you've already talked about a little bit of the programs and things you do, but kind of tell me more about it and what you're doing. You know, I know on your website, you have a personal video tour. Kind of give me an audio tour, if you will.
Sure. Well, we've got a personal video tour. We also have a music video. Did you happen to see that by any chance? Everything's Not Awesome?
I did. Yes.
So that was a really fun project to put together where we got a bunch of local business owners. This is when like the crisis hit and we said, look, everything's not awesome right now, but that doesn't mean it's hopeless and bleak. Oh, wait, those are the lyrics to a song from the Lego movie. And so we made a little music video with a bunch of business owners just showing them getting back to work. And that was a lot of fun. So, so what we do here is, we really want to connect entrepreneurs to the community and coaching they need to thrive. So yes, we have a physical co-working space. If you're not familiar with that idea, it's an on-demand workspace for entrepreneurs, but really for anybody who works off a laptop, who wants a place where they can show up. We've got coffee, Wi-Fi, and a professional workspace where you can decide to use a standing desk or a sitting desk, and you can work alone in a room, or you can work in a room where everybody's 6 feet away from you. That's a new feature. And then we have a conference room people can reserve for meetings with clients or presentations and things like that as well. So we have the physical space. Now more and more we're doing virtual training programs, and you know, just because of the situation we're in right now. I think, in the future, at some point, we'll go back to having physical like what we were doing before the crisis was we had a couple of like business book club meetings, because we actually also have a bookstore here. So we sell a curated collection of the best business books on the planet, subjectively speaking, as well as we are the only retail store in the world to sell the Full Focus Planner, which is a really a phenomenal productivity planner by a guy named Michael Hyatt, and it sold more than 500,000 globally. And so it's pretty cool. Anyway, so we also are the only retail place where you can actually buy that, partly because I work with Michael, so I know a guy.
I want to take a moment and take you back to episode number 18 of this podcast, which featured Chef Carla Peluso. Carla has become a good friend of mine, and I'm excited to tell you about Brino Italian Southern Eatery in Columbia, Tennessee, in which Carla is the executive chef and co-owner along with Paul Brino. This place is a true tale of two Italians and was created out of a desire to bring a fresh approach to their favorite cuisines, combining two great comfort foods, Italian and Southern. Let me tell you, this is the real deal, and I'm not just saying that because Carla's a friend of mine. You have to check it out for yourself. Brino is open for walk-ins and reservations, which they'd highly recommend. My wife and I were there at 5 p.m. on a Friday, and that place was packed. Brino will soon be doing online ordering, classes, and catering. And on a personal note, I would highly recommend ordering the large meatball as a starter. You won't regret it. Brino Italian Southern Eatery is located at 1018 South Garden Street in Columbia, Tennessee. And you can find out more about them or make a reservation for this weekend at BrinoItalian.com. Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Now, I was going to ask you, you know, how's co-work different from a typical co-working space? But I think you just described that beautifully.
Yeah, well, if I want to add one more thing to that, one thing that really got me into the co-working space, because I've been a co-working space customer for years, where it's either, you know, because I have little kids and I love them, I don't work from home. That's just like for me, like just a policy, because I don't want, and it works for some people, but for with my kids, it just became so confusing to know, like, when is dad really here or not here if I'm trying to work? And so I found it better to just say, like, well, when I'm home, I'm home. And so I got rid of my smartphone. I use a phone called the Light Phone that doesn't have apps and tools. I run three businesses, but not at home. And so that all by necessity means I need to either have a private office, which I've done, work out of a coffee shop, which I've done, or work out of co-working spaces, which was always my preference. But what I found with co-working spaces is that they're not all created equal. I mean, there's a lot of different ways to approach a co-working space business. And, especially the big players in big cities, most of them, I mean, you know, there's kind of like the two big giants are WeWork, which everybody's heard of, right? You've heard of WeWork,
right.
So WeWork is known for their vibe. They're like cool and hip, but they have a horrible business model. I mean, they literally lose millions of dollars every quarter. Their board just paid almost $1 billion to buy out the CEO so they could fire him. So not great prospects for the future of that company.
Right.
They're the largest leaseholder in the world, but they don't actually own any buildings or assets, right? They just have big leases, which is a problem in big cities where now co-working members are working from home because of the pandemic. So WeWork has its problems, but they've got a cool hip culture, right? And then there's the other one, the other giant, IWG. Have you ever heard of IWG, Chris?
I have not.
Well, they're bigger than WeWork. They're more profitable than WeWork, and they have more co-working spaces than WeWork. But you've never heard of them because they're the modern landlord. So they own a lot of sub-brands like Regus and Spaces.
Okay, right. Regus. Yes, yeah. I have heard of Regus. So they actually own Regus, or they used to formerly be Regus, right?
They still call it Regus. IWG owns like four or five sub-brands. Spaces is one. Regus is one. Those are their two biggest. And so, but they basically, I mean, I've been to their spaces. I mean, essentially, they're just the modern landlord. They're like, yeah, we have a building. You know, let's take your money. You go work. And it's kind of it. Like, you know, and so they actually make good money. But when I was really disappointed by the culture there. And so with Cowork Columbia, we said, look, we're a small space in a small town. But from the beginning, we want to make it clear. We want to actually have a good business model and also good community. And we wanted to stand for the both, you know, and that probably comes from my Chick-fil-A background because I worked for Chick-fil-A for years. And we thought, well, what if we could be the Chick-fil-A of co-working? I mean, good business model and a good community.
Yeah, there you go. And, you know, my thought, and this isn't a revolutionary thought, but, you know, I think about all the folks now who are working from home that maybe weren't previously doing that.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know a lot of people that are doing that and they're like, oh, get me out of here. I can't do this. I mean, I mean, the space like Cowork Columbia would be perfect to get, you know, someone like that back into the office, you know, in a way.
Totally. Well, I mean, honestly, it's just speculation, Chris, but I really see that we have a changing landscape where rural communities like Columbia and our surrounding cities are going to be, I mean, but this is all over the US, all over the world. If you look at the map of how internet usage is changing, just a few months ago, I mean, just back in January or February, during the, you know, typical 9 to 5, Monday through Friday workday, there's these huge upticks in internet usage in major cities. And you can see that kind of like after 5 p.m., it kind of dies off in the big cities. And all these surrounding rural areas, there's this uptick in internet usage, not quite as dramatic, but it's just people watching Netflix and Disney Plus at home. So, you know, that's been happening. Well, right now that's pivoted. Right now it's flipped. And so now during this, I mean, the cities, well, it's not actually flipped. It's just the cities just are dark all the time. There's not like, I mean, basically all of this massive spikes in internet usage during the workday is going to all of these suburban areas, rural areas that surround the big cities where people actually live, right? Because that's where the work is happening. Well, I think that there's going to be demand as we come out of this pandemic and into the new world. There's going to be this demand for people saying like, well, why do I need to drive 45 minutes or an hour back into the big city? If why can't I just have a co-working space near my house where I can work and collaborate with my colleagues? Because we've already figured out how to do this whole Zoom and Slack thing. So yeah, I think there's going to be some major shifts there.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, in your opinion, can there be too many co-working spaces if they're done right and have a good business plan?
Can there be too many?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, or do you think that's what we need? I mean,
well, okay. I think we need, I will say two things. We need a heck of a lot more than we have right now. Yeah. Like probably 100 or 1,000 times as many as we have right now. But yes, there can be too many. I mean, like if there was one co-working space for every person on the planet, that would be too many. I mean, there can be too many, but I think we're a long ways off of that. I mean, I don't know the stats. And the problem is the suburban and rural areas in the US, at least, I know this is true across the world too, but they don't really have any. I mean, like, you know, like we're, you know, if you look at a map of co-working spaces, there's us and one other one here in Columbia. And then there's kind of like not any for about 50 miles or 30 miles, maybe. And if you're going north, it's about 30 miles. And then you've got some in Franklin, just a couple. And then there's a lot in Nashville, but a lot of these, if you look at the kind of surrounding map of where, you know, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people live in all these rural and suburban areas where there aren't co-working spaces, it's just not been a thing until recently. There's not been a demand for it. I think that's going to have to change drastically, very quickly in the next couple of years.
Yeah. So I have to ask, since you brought it up, the other co-working space in Columbia, I'm familiar with it. What's the guy's name that runs that?
Aaron. Aaron. Yes. From the Collective. Yeah.
Yeah. So are you guys like in a friendly competition, or are you guys looking to try to do something completely different, or, you know, what's that dynamic like?
I mean, kind of both, but I'll tell you this. I mean, I'll tell you two things. One, if you go to Mealtown Collective and you look at the fridge, Aaron keeps on his fridge, he keeps a picture of every member who joins. And if you look up at the top left, so one of the first couple faces up there is mine, right?
Yes.
So I was actually a member of Mealtown Collective when it opened. He takes these little Polaroid photos, which is cool. And right away I was like, okay, this is cool. I like what you're doing here. I loved that there was a co-working space in town, but I wanted something different. You know, that I think that this is something that we've seen in a lot of big cities. Like, I mean, there are parts of like Toronto has more than 80 co-working spaces, and they're not all copy and paste, right? Different people have different needs. Mealtown Collective is a great example of space. And I told Aaron this before we even opened the space. I said, hey, Aaron, you're a friend and I've been your customer for years. I'm going to open a co-working space. I realize that puts us in direct competition, but I think there's enough work for the two of us. And so what I told him is I said, look, I know your heart, and I know his heart is really artists and creatives. I said, you double down on that. My heart is business professionals and entrepreneurs. I'm going to double down on that. And so let's do this. And so, you know, I can only control my part, but he said, yeah, I said, I'm going to open a spot in the center of the square in downtown Columbia. And he said, we totally need that. I said, great. Awesome. Okay, cool. So yeah, I mean, we've stayed in touch this whole time. I'm definitely a fan of healthy competition, rivalry. I think it creates the best products for everyone. Our space is different in the fact that we designed it to be an inspiring professional workspace where we've got we've got daylight LED, we've got, you know, fresh white walls, we've got it's all the same color schemes. So we've got basically just black, teal, and white throughout the whole space. And whereas Aaron's space is more of like a, you know, an open kind of like rustic warehouse where he's got like super colorful lockers, and they do like songwriters night and that kind of stuff. And I'm like, that's awesome. Please do that. I love that. That's different than what we're building.
Yeah. So one thing more, well, I guess on the same page related to Columbia, I saw that, what is it? Muletown Revival, Seth Scruggs. Do you know Seth?
I do now because of Muletown Revival.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I saw that he was doing, I actually had Seth and one of his friends, Zach, on the podcast last year because they were working on a short film that they actually filmed down in Columbia as well, partially. So, I thought that was cool. What he's doing with the Muletown Revival. I mean, do you have much background on that and what he's doing with that project?
Yeah. I mean, right away. So, you know, Seth's a film student and I mean, I've had lots of conversations with him about this now where he just said he was so frustrated by so many other film students. It just seems like they just wanted to create stuff kind of just cause like just to get famous or just to get awards, this kind of stuff. But he really wanted to create something with a purpose. And so when, you know, school got out, everybody said, we're going to go home and do virtual school for the rest of the semester. And he came back to his hometown at Columbia. He started looking around and say, well, I was going to do a summer film project. What if I do something that has meaning? And so it's pretty cool. I mean, I told him from the beginning, I love that he named the program Muletown Revival because like our community is known as Muletown. And he's actually just interviewing business owners and community leaders about what they're doing and how they're kind of just like what's going on as they're adapting in the midst of this crisis going on right now. And what's cool about it is that the revival, right? The name's already there. Like, in other words, it's not documenting the story of Muletown's demise. Will it succeed or not? We'll find out. Or it's not like Muletown crisis. It's called Muletown Revival. So baked in is the assumption that we revive. And I think that's pretty cool. So yeah, so I was one of the first interviews that Seth did, but he's been doing so many. I mean, so I totally love and support what he's doing. I think it's a great gift to our community. And I hope that, I mean, a lot of my friends in our town, I'll just tell you the conversations we have here is we say, hey, what we're doing here is simply a microcosm of what's possible in other small towns across the world. So let's document what we're doing as much as we can to try to make that possible. So, you know, like my friend Rory Feek, for example, and my friend Gabe McCauley, like they both have, these are friends that I get coffee with on like a weekly basis. Like they both have TV shows. I don't have a TV show, but they both have TV shows. And a lot of that, what they're doing and that is like highlighting and celebrating the best parts of our community as an example of like what's possible elsewhere. Like we're not just saying, hey, come to Columbia, you're welcome to, but like, it's more like, no, well go to your hometown and build something because we're building something really special and we're sharing that with people. But we also think that you can do the same thing in your community.
I'm going to keep saying it. It's just, we're ready to pick up and move to Columbia. I mean, we live in Spring Hill right now. We're looking we're looking to spread out a little bit more down that way. It's a little bit more affordable, maybe not for long with, you know, everything booming down there, but,
I will say I have had friends tell me that, you know, that the Visitor Bureau should have a referral program. And if so, I would get a fat check. But I love this community. I mean, like, I'm just going to, you know, I think it's a really great community. And so by all means, come down, visit Core Columbia. Your first day pass is free, you know, and then, you know, we'd love to hang out, get some Muletown coffee and, you know, have you part of it. We've got a really cool community here. But I mean, I do want to emphasize for anybody who's listening, who's not thinking about moving here, which is probably the majority of people. The point is not that Columbia is awesome, which it is. The point is that I've built the relationships with other people in this community who are all passionate about building a town that we want to live in for generations. And so, we're building it accordingly.
Let's talk about John Meese, the family man and husband for a minute. Let's talk date nights. Where do you and your wife like to go if you have time?
We've been doing a lot more date nights at home lately just because of the crisis going on, all that kind of stuff. But I mean, I tell you, our favorite restaurant is actually it's not like super fancy. It's actually like a cheap hole in the wall, but it's amazing, which is Los Potros, which is this little, you kind of have to know where it is right off the square. So if you're walking off of the square, kind of going downhill, walk until you get to the point where you start to feel a little bit like you're like, am I going into the unsafe part of town? You're not quite there, but you're thinking about it. Look left, there's Los Potros. And it's a phenomenal, they've got amazing, amazing, just like authentic, Southern California kind of, food. And so, it's the same Hispanic family that owns it and they run everything. It's amazing. So, however, last night we were at River Terrace, which is great. And, you know, in town they do like, New Orleans, kind of a little fancier. So we do try to do a date night every week, not just my wife and I. We do one every week, but we also try to trade off so we can do one-on-one dates with our kids every week because we think that's just as important to cultivate those relationships. Yep. So, yeah.
Yeah. Have you been to Burino Italian Southern Eatery yet?
Yes. I'm friends with Paul, the owner. And so we actually got to go to a preview dinner the night before it opened. And it's amazing. I have a lot of food allergies. But I was able to, I mean, they were able to accommodate everything. So like, I mean, you know, they've got the amazing, you know, zoodles, like zucchini noodles. And I don't even know, I couldn't tell you now, I would pronounce it wrong. But they told me that was okay while we're there. Cause like their whole thing is they're like bon appetit, y'all. And so that's kind of like encouraged that you can mispronounce all these Italian dishes. So I got the Merschetti. Yeah. That sounds about right. Something like that.
Yeah. So I'm friends with Carla, who's actually co-owner with Paul and the chef. And I've known her a while. And she coincidentally actually did the podcast too. This was way before she even thought about the restaurant, or maybe she did. But I mean, we went there the first time, and we got invited too when she first opened to a tasting, and we were out of town. Great. I was pretty bummed, but we finally made it there. It's amazing. You know, I think that area needed an Italian restaurant.
Yeah, and it's good.
All right, man. I don't want to take up too much more of your time. This has been really awesome. I've loved chatting about what you're doing with Cowork, Columbia, and chatting a little bit about Columbia. What would be the best way for listeners either to find out about what you're doing or find out more about Cowork Columbia?
Yeah, so I mean, the best thing to do if you're in the area and you want to learn more about Cowork Columbia is you can go to cowork.space. And I did not stutter. That is the whole domain, cowork.space. There's no .com. It's a very simple domain. However, I also do have my own personal blog. And so if you want to follow up with you know, any of my other projects or just learn more about what I'm up to, you can go to johnmeese.com. I look forward to hearing from you.
I really hope you enjoyed the episode. And as always, thank you so much for listening. If you'd like to get a hold of me, you can always email me at 99%localpod@gmail.com. Or you can actually drop by the contact page on the website and send a voice message that may appear in a future episode. Speaking of the website, you can find it at 99%localpod.com. And while you're there, make sure you catch up on any and all past episodes. If you'd like to support the show, you can do it in a few different ways. Please, please follow the podcast on Instagram or Facebook at 99%localpod. Leave a review wherever you listen to this podcast. The best thing you can possibly do is share this podcast with your friends who might want to check it out. Lastly, would you consider contributing to this podcast on a one-time or ongoing basis? All contributions that I receive, 10% of that goes to the Well Outreach in Spring Hill, Tennessee. And until next week, stay safe and be kind to those around you.